Exodus chapter 17, verse 2 through 7 is our text tonight. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" Why do you tempt the Lord? Verse 3, "And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it.'" They were thirsty. Verse 3 says the people thirsted there for water, and that is the whole reason for all this murmuring and chiding and complaining. And so the Lord, out of all of that murmuring, chiding, and complaining, the Lord in verse number 6 says, "I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it." The Lord met the need. He said that the people may drink. They're thirsty. Moses, take care of it. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. There was a witness. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. I'm probably pronouncing those terribly. Because of the chiding of the children of Israel. And because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not?" Now, I don't know how this is going to come out tonight. I know how I want it to come out, but no guarantees. But I do believe the Lord. In fact, as I was reading this, I felt even more assuredly that the Lord has put this on my heart. And I'm praying tonight that you could receive this in the spirit in which I intend to preach this message. I want to preach on the subject, "Why tempt ye the Lord?" Let's lay down our Bibles and ask the Lord to speak to each of our hearts. Let's open our hearts up to the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence that's in this house. Pray that you would speak to every member of this congregation. I'm asking you, Lord, to anoint my lips, anoint my mind, anoint my heart. Eliminate every distraction. God, I pray that you would anoint every heart and mind and soul and spirit in this place. Pray in the name of Jesus. Have your way tonight, God, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I am not a Hebrew scholar, although we have one among us. And I'm sure I can ask and clarify, or he, Bishop, you can clarify at any point. You've got a microphone. You know how to turn it on. You know how to unmute. And so if I say anything that's incorrect, I want to be corrected. But So in light of the fact that I am not a scholar of the Hebrew language, I will just give you a simple one-word definition for these two words that we read at the very end. The place that this all occurred acquired a name. And it was not just one name, actually. It required two names, two descriptors of this whole encounter, this whole event that I just read for you, where the children of Israel began to complain, desire water, began to chide against Moses, and tempted the Lord according to the scripture. And then Moses performed the striking of the rock at the word of the Lord, and water came out in the sight of the elders, and the Lord supplied their need through this miracle. The terms that describe this event according to scripture are 1, Massah, and 2, Meribah. If you look at these words in any lexicon, any Hebrew lexicon, you'll get two basic definitions. The definition of the first, Massah, means temptation. And the definition of the second, Meribah, thank you for the yes, by the way, that helps. And Meribah means strife or contention. And so if I were to apply my own reason to this passage of Scripture and the descriptions that were given to it and are referred to it by Moses, where he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, I believe that Moses is trying to convey that they tempted the Lord out of or because of their strife and their contention. Does that make sense to you? That they, because of their strife, not because of some direct, and I am making a little bit of a leap here because you can read the very words of the people of Israel. They say, you know, what do they say here? In verse 2, latter portion of verse 2, Moses said unto them, why are you chiding with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people, they did end up beginning to murmur against Moses, literally. They began to say, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Moses cried unto them, saying, what shall I do unto this people? And then we read the rest of that story. But they literally said the words, why are you trying to kill us? They were literally trying to, but I think that I'd like to make an application, if anything, from this particular scripture, where there is more going on than just the words that are coming out of their mouth. But we're talking about a group of people who have witnessed firsthand the miraculous power of God. They came in a miraculous way through the route of going through the Red Sea after it was parted. I mean, standing upon itself, walking across on dry ground. And then they went even further and without sustenance in the wilderness. We read where the Lord, the Bible says, rained manna down upon them. And so daily the children of Israel would see miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And so as a result of all of this, they have the audacity to come to this place called Meribah, this place called Massah, and tempt the Lord through their chiding. Amen. Do you see that? Because of their discomfort of that particular instance. Because they grew thirsty in this area. Because that this great desire came on them and it looked desperate. It looked like the situation had no resolution, that the situation was only going to grow worse and worse. And so because of these mounting problems, children of Israel began to murmur. They started to talk among themselves and say, hey, do you see what Moses is doing? Hey, do you see, didn't he think about us? Didn't he think about all of our necessities? Didn't he think about all of the plans getting us from here to the promised land? Did he not plan well enough? And so they begin to think, perhaps they started with just a few thoughts here and there, and then the Bible says they begin to murmur to one another. At some point, it got to Moses' attention, and Moses said, why are you murmuring? What are you saying? And I don't know how long I'm going to preach tonight, okay? But I'm just going to preach. Amen. But I want to just ask you, amen, a similar question tonight. Amen. I understand, amen, there are circumstances that prevail. Amen. We've got Christmas coming upon us, and we've got other situations and responsibilities that we all have respectively. And perhaps your life looks dreary and weary, and you're thirsty, spiritually speaking. Hallelujah. I wish I could preach this like I'm feeling it right now. I've got a desire to put this out here. Amen. But my voice is failing me. Amen. But I'm going to keep going as much as I can right now. Amen. I've got to tell you, amen, I'm not coming against you with any sort of hammer to try to break your heart apart or try to knock you in the head. That's not what I'm trying to say. Amen. What I want you to see is, what has the Lord already done? Look over the shoulder, amen, and see the manna that has rained from heaven. Do you remember when the bonds of Egypt, amen, were strewn about your knees, amen, strewn about your ankles, amen, and they withheld you from the freedom of this wilderness? Hallelujah. Do you remember, amen, the scourging lashes, amen, of the whip of that Egyptian taskmaster, amen, as it bared down in the heat of the day? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why are you murmuring? What's the complaining about? What's the concern? Yeah, there's a transition coming. Yeah, there's some situations happening. Yes, I understand. But isn't the Lord the same yesterday, today? Hallelujah. I see my generation, young people, amen, contemporaries with myself, amen, a defiant generation, looking, amen, I'll call them the millennials because that's the general, amen, that's the general sentiment of them. Amen. They look to reason and philosophy, amen, and to books, amen, and to mankind, amen, to try to understand and try to reason out, amen. They never give God a chance. They never give God an opportunity, amen, to stand in their life, to complete the promises that he's given to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for elders. Thank God for those of you, amen, who've demonstrated commitment and faithfulness to God. Amen. And have shown some of us younger ones, amen, what it's like to live for God in the face of adversity. But let me preach to the 20 to 40 to 50 year olds for a moment. I want you to have an answer to this question. Why are you tempting the Lord your God? What proof do you have that he has forgotten you? What proof do you have, amen, that he cannot supply your need? Hallelujah. He's able. Hallelujah. He's able. Hallelujah. They look at the pain, the suffering, and I understand it. I've had some of the same questions myself. Amen. But you're looking beyond the borders of your own life to be able to come up with any accusation against God. Amen. Do you know anybody personally who God has ignored? Amen. Who's prayed the prayer of faith and God has forgotten? Hallelujah. You say, what about the kids in Africa? What about India? What about those in China? Amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in your life. Do you know anybody where God is forsaken, forgotten? Why tempt ye the Lord? This defiant generation, I'm talking about my own generation, 20 to 50 year olds. This defiant generation declares that if there is a God, there would be no pain, no hunger, no anguish. There wouldn't be illnesses and disease. Hallelujah. We ask the question. Maybe we don't form the words in our mouth, but we ask the question, amen, with our lifestyle. We ask the question in our faithfulness, in our commitment to God, in our willingness and obedience to the Word of God. Amen. In our lifestyle, the way that we raise our children, the way that we can. I'm preaching to someone tonight. Amen. I want you to understand. Amen. You don't have to utter the words. Amen. To tempt God. For the children of Israel, their temptation of God came through their own chiding. Their feeling, that thought that passes through the mind. Did he think about this? Did he plan this? That cynical mindset. We're not going to be here all night, but I'm going to drive this point home. Why? 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 Hallelujah. Even in apostolic churches, it's possible. We've learned to provoke the Spirit of God. Throughout Scripture, we read of this specific incident. It's referred to as the day of provocation. Over and over and over in the New Testament, the apostles refer to this period of time. And they say, don't be like your fathers. as on the day of provocation. When the Lord was testing you, when the Lord was trying you, you turned around and tempted and tested and tried him. And the Lord was putting you on trial. I think that is the crux of this issue. Where God has something in store for you, has a plan, a purpose, Brother Jerome. And just because I mentioned his name does not mean I'm preaching to him exclusively. So don't get embarrassed and nobody make that accusation. We look at our situations in our own life and we say, wow, I've got this trouble. I've got this problem. I've got this situation. And all the while, it is God's perfect plan and design. And the purpose is to prove us. You don't believe me? Thank you, Brother Hall. I believe it too. Scripture teaches us that the Lord does this. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 2, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Careful with those words, by the way. We've talked about that. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I have set. But this is my only son. This is the one that you promised. The Lord is proving him, trying him. Verse 25 of chapter 15 of Exodus, skipping to Exodus chapter 15, verse 25, talking about the same man, the Bible says, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters of waters, am I skipping this? Yes, I'm skipping. So let me finish my Abraham story first. Said, God, you gave me this son. Gave him promise. Gave me this promise. Gave me this hope of a future that I'd be the father of many nations. And now you're asking me to put him on the altar and sacrifice him? How can you do that? I'll tell you how he can do it. He can do it once you're proven. Once you have proven that you trust him, that you'll obey him, that you'll do what he says. You might say, how is it that I get into church and after I get into church, it seems like everything around me falls apart. I lose my job. My lost loved ones are more distant. There's no way that I can ever win them. There's no opportunity there. They've shunned me. They've resisted me. I can't form any kind of relationship with them. How is it, amen, that I feel so much more alone and distant from everybody else in my life that I love now that I'm trying to live for God? Maybe the Lord is just proving you. Maybe he's trying you. You see, the Lord has good reason to put us on trial. We are human. We have proven, Adam, the first human, proved that we are not perfect. We're fallen. I mean, no matter how great your desire to live for God, how many can testify to the fact, amen, that no matter how great your desire, you have slipped up. I'll put two hands up and a leg. There is no one in this place that has lived for God without failure. And so that is why the Lord tempts us. Not only is he proving us to himself, he's proving us to ourselves. That we can make it, that we can do it, we can follow, we can obey, we can listen to me. When God makes a calling, it's a great responsibility. Amen. When God puts, amen, his word in your mouth and in your heart, you've got to abide by those words. You can't get out in the marketplace and in your job place and at your school and preach this message and then turn around and live a totally different lifestyle. That's why he tempts us. That's why he proves us. Exodus 15, 25 through 26, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and wilt do that which is right in his sight and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Chapter 16 of Exodus says similarly, verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, and that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Even this, the miracle, was used as a process of proving. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Deuteronomy 8 and 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. That wilderness that you're going through is a process for proving. Deuteronomy 8, verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. Deuteronomy 13 and 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. Over and over. Judges 2, 22. Judges 3, verses 1 and 4. 2 Chronicles 32, 31. And Psalms 26 and 2. Over and over we see the Lord says, I did this so I could prove you. I did this so that I could try you. You say, why? Why, God? Why am I going through this? That's why. That's the reason. I've heard bishops say this many, many times. If you feel like you're going through the same test, maybe you ought to examine the results. You need to determine whether or not you're passing that test, because God does not move us on to the next test until we pass the first. And believe me, I've been through several tests, several times. I'm a flunky. But Jesus is patient with me. Thank God for a pastor that's patient with me. He said that this morning. I wholeheartedly agree. I'm not embarrassed in one little bit, because that is the reason I'm still living for God today. God was tempting me. He was trying me. Is Jared going to make it or not? Does he really have it in his heart or not? Does he really believe what he's preaching or not? Oh, I feel good. I just feel like preaching right now. Hallelujah. But while God has reason to try us, while God has reasons to test us, and you all know better than I do why God is testing you. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. While God has an innumerable number of reasons to tempt us, we have zero. Zero reasons to tempt him. He's never failed us. I said he's never failed us. He's been faithful, and he will always be faithful from now until the very end. Hallelujah. Until you take your last breath, You say, well, Brother Hilton, that doesn't pay my bills. I know it doesn't pay your bills. Amen. But it gives you a reason, gives you a hope to wake up in the morning and say, maybe God's just proving me. Maybe God's just testing me. Amen. I don't know what's next in my life. Amen. But I'm going to pass this test. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Israel, amen, was tempted so many times. Numbers chapter 14, verse 22 says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, the Lord is wondering out loud, why do these who have seen the miracles, why are they tempting me? What have I done? Have I ever failed them? Have I ever let them down? Have I ever turned my back on them? No, even when they turned their back on me, I was still there with an outstretched hand. I was still ready, Sister Bailey, to do another miracle for them. I was still ready to perform the delivering work, the delivering act. Brother JJ, amen, I've seen you come to church in and out, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I want you to answer this question. Amen, has the Lord ever failed you? It's only by God's grace that you're sitting in that pew right now. Terry, the reason that you're sitting right there is because of God's mercy. Brother Larson, we're not here because of any good thing that we've done. Just because I'm standing on this platform doesn't mean I've done anything special. I didn't do anything to get here. Yeah, I've had a few tests, and I've passed a few tests, but it is God. It is God's mercy. It's the same story for the Israelites. When they were in bondage in Egypt, they were not delivered until God performed the 10 miracles of those plagues that delivered them out of the nation of Egypt. Amen. And what got them through that wilderness into the promised land was, again, miracle after miracle after miracle. Not anything that the Israelites ever did. No, as a matter of fact, it was in spite of everything that the Israelites did. They were no good for nothing. Amen. Cyclical liars and hypocrites. So why, again, are we tempting God? You say, well, Brother Hilton, I'm not challenging God. I've never said that. I've never said anything like that. I'm not here saying, where is the Lord God of Olathe? I'm not saying any of that. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 78, verse 18. It says, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They didn't say anything, but they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They were just looking for what would satisfy their carnal desires. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take care of itself. Psalm 78, verse 41 says, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 78, 56, and they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. Psalm 95 and 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. And then finally, Psalms 106, verse 14, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Now, while I hope I've made my case, I'm not sure if I have clearly enough or not, but yes, God tests us. Yes, God tries us. And you say, well, isn't that reason enough to tempt the Lord? Absolutely not, because the Lord's never failed us. So I've got this, I still have the same question. Why do you tempt the Lord? But even when we do try him, even when we do come up with these questions, God is still able to prove himself to us. And he did it for the children of Israel in our text. He didn't have any obligation to meet their thirsty need. But he did. And I want to tell somebody, I don't care if I go very much further in my notes at all. I want to tell somebody tonight, if you are in this state of quandary, of asking God, why? What is going on in my life? And you do come up with the question, and you do have something in your spirit. And I do feel, I'm not just saying this, I do feel like there is a spirit of chiding in the hearts of some here tonight. Amen. I'm just telling you, I'm just trying to convey what I feel. Amen. And it's not an accusation. It's not a gut punch. I'm not trying to come here and prove anything. I just want you to understand what I'm preaching for, what I'm saying, why I'm even standing here right now. But let me tell you, if that's in your spirit, if it's something inside of you, please, please, amen, get to an altar and tell him, God, amen, why? That's what Job did. Amen. He said, even if God slays me, I know that I can trust him. Why? Because he's proven. And I'm telling you, church, amen, even in 2025, I don't care if your loved ones, amen, are lost. I don't care if the greatest desire of your heart has slipped through your fingers. You can ask the Lord. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 33:8 says, and of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. Amen. The Urim and the Thummim were used as a means of getting a hold of God in the old covenant. And the Lord said, I understand there will be days that you've got questions. I understand that there will be days that you don't understand. There will be days that you will have to prove what you believe. Hallelujah. 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 Let's talk to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. You're striving in your spirit. Perhaps you're murmuring to some others. Say, I don't know how this is all going to turn out. I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. This is looking mighty messy to me. I don't even know if I'm going to make the commitment. But let me tell you, you can prove him. You can prove him. You can prove him. He is the same today, 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 as he was in the days of the apostles. He's the same today, Bishop, as he was in the days when you were in Balk Springs under the tutelage of Pastor Davis. Amen. He's the same today as he was in the days, amen, of your own glory days. Hallelujah, Brett. You look over your shoulder. I feel like I'm talking to somebody right now. I mean, you look over your shoulder and say, well, I don't remember it being like this. I don't remember it feeling like this. Hallelujah. Go ahead and prove him. Go ahead and prove him. Ask him. Hallelujah. There's a reason why you haven't asked. There's a reason why you haven't formed the words in your mouth. There's a reason why you haven't come and uttered those words in prayer. Because you know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he can prove himself. He can answer that prayer. Hallelujah. Luke 10:25, you know the story of this lawyer, doctor of the law, came to Jesus, said, what do I do to be saved? I've heard all the messages. I've heard all the rabbis. I've heard them teach. Heard them tell us. here's what you do, such and such, and blah, blah, blah. But what do you say, Jesus? And the Bible says that he asked this question to tempt him. It's Luke 10 and 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus' response, we could probably quote it, was Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. On these two hang all the law of the prophets. This is what you do. The Lord has an answer to every question that you have. And I want you to know that even this question, tempting the Lord, if you're thirsty, he'll give you what you need to drink. If you're hungry, he'll give you what you need to eat. But you need to understand that you've got to ask the question. You've got to tell him. It's not right, and I'm not trying to position the whole situation, the whole story at Meribah and Massa as saying the children of Israel was correct. Their spirit was bad. They were chiding against Moses. They were judged for it. But the fact of the matter is the Lord still answered their plea because the Lord loves us. He genuinely wants you to be saved. Ask your questions. I feel like I'm hitting a wall right here, and that's okay, but I've got to figure out a way to either navigate through it or navigate around it. But even for those of you that are seeking salvation, and you've come up against this challenging question, this doubt, this fear, this misunderstanding, the reason that you've not gotten through is because you stopped asking the question. You haven't persisted. You haven't worked it out. Amen. But like this doctor said, amen, he said tempting him. Amen. His question wasn't even from a legitimate place. He was asking because he was comparing Jesus' answer, amen, with that of the rabbis and those he respected. Amen. But Jesus' answer surprised him because it was what the rabbis should have answered. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Amen. We are commanded not to tempt the Lord, according to Deuteronomy 6 and 16, Isaiah 7 and 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. Sister Troy, we're getting ready for a conclusion here, so you can come on up here and start playing whenever you've got a song. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9, because it refers to another passage that I'm going to close with here tonight. 1 Corinthians 10 and 9 says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed as the destroyer. Paul is referring to, for the Corinthian church, to the passage of Scripture, Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 through 6. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. What am I trying to say? I see two outcomes, two results of these two stories that we've read. First is that they were chiding. They even got to the point where they were murmuring, but in my mind's eye, I feel like it was stopped. It was quenched before it got out of hand. And the Lord answered their question with a miracle, with the water coming out of the rock. But in this other situation, the Bible says that the people spake directly against God. That's Numbers 21 and 5. and against Moses. What are you doing, bringing us out of Egypt to die into this wilderness? There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Also, perhaps it could be the fact that this has happened more than once. They're asking the same question. Whatever the case, the Lord determined that now I'm going to correct this situation. And he sent them serpents, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel did die in the wilderness. So as we stand tonight, what I would like to ask you to do tonight. Yes, God can answer your question. Yes, Job, going through the trial of your life, he can. And I believe God has shown himself to do that in this church on countless occasions. And I honestly feel like I'm on repeat in having to say these types of things. But I want to challenge you as a child of God in this conclusion, in this appeal. Let me actually, before I do this, I want to say, just give you a warning. It's better to ask God the question than for you to start murmuring among yourselves and to convince others of your mind and your ideas and all of this. But can I challenge you to go a step further rather than just, and yes, if you've got to talk to them, go talk to them. Make your petitions known to God. Pray. Get a hold of God. And really get a hold of him. Don't just say, now I lay me down to sleep and, oh man, God didn't answer my prayer. Pray in faith. Believe God for it. And I want to challenge you to go a step further than that. Can you take a big step back from your personal issues? Can you take a big step back from those basic necessities of life? The thirsting, the bread. We know, I've got scriptures here, I'm not going to go through all of them, but we know, scripture tells us, he's going to take care of those needs. So why? Why even posit them? The Lord's already promised us that he's going to take care of them. I'm not trying to overlook any individual situations. Please understand. But if I believe that if we as a church can get beyond our personal needs and challenges and collectively approach the needs of this community and your community, whatever area that you're in. I know many of us represent different communities, different cities around the Kansas City metropolitan area. That is the calling of God for this church. Is for us, yes, we've got needs. Yes, those needs are real. Yes, we've got to feed our family. Yes, we've got to. I know. I'm not saying any of that is not real. It is real. It's there. I've got my own challenges. But more than any of that, I'll sleep under a bridge. Maybe I'll have to. I'll sleep under a bridge. I told my wife last time, we'll even move into an apartment if we have to. I don't care. And that is saying a lot for Jared Hilton, because I do not believe in that nonsense. Not judging anybody that does. I'm just saying, to me, it feels like a waste of money. But I'll do whatever is necessary. Why? Because I want to see the souls of this city and the souls of your workplace, the children. Amen, Brother Chad. Amen, how many young people, how many children have flooded our Sunday school program? Why? Because you look beyond your direct and personal needs and said, I've got a burden for a community of children. Brother Nelson, how many in Gardner, amen, have great needs, amen, that far supersede your personal pantry and all of the situations in your own household, not undermining any of the situations in your life. I understand life is real. Brother Jaheim, Brother Jerome, young men, amen, with great potential, and I know you've got real needs. What could God use you for? If we can get beyond those questions, let me show you, my coworker, how God has answered my needs. Let me show you, my friend, amen, how God has solved my problems, has answered my questions. You've got your own testimony. And I believe God's going to give us more testimonies as the days come by. Amen. But if we can get our eyes. I almost preached this message tonight, but I felt like it was too much of a ripoff. One of the elders had preached this past week. Amen. Elder Morton got up. His very first lesson was lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Bishop quoted the scripture this morning. Lift up your eyes to the fields which are white and all ready to harvest. You can't harvest the fields if you're looking down. We've got to lift up. We've got to look and see. So I ask you the question one more time, perhaps at risk of being annoying. Why tempt ye the Lord? Has he ever failed you? You have your own testimony tonight. Let's go tell somebody. Let's go help somebody else with our own knowledge, with our own faith, with the spirit that God has put in us. Let's walk away from this Meribah. Let's walk away from this Massa. Let's walk away from this rock that we've gone around for so long. Let's go into a new place. Let's tell somebody, I've got a God who really answers your prayer. I've tried him. I've proved him. I've been in the altar. I've asked him the questions. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to come around the front, but I don't want us all to get down in the mully grubs and sob and bawl and wipe tears away and sniff. And if you feel like you got to do it, then go ahead. Why don't you come up here and thank God for what he's done for you? He's been so good. I just said we can't cry, so I better not be crying. But I'm telling you, God's been good to me. I have no reason to complain. Woo! Hallelujah! He's answered every prayer that I've ever prayed. Yes, it may have been a no every now and then, amen, but he still comes through time and time and time again. Hallelujah. He's the one, amen, that rained down the manna upon us, church. He's the one that delivered us from the bondage of the Egyptians. He's the one that gave to us the promised land. Come on, that's it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 2:7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. Oh, what a reason to thank him. Come on, the Lord's been with us these 30 years. The Lord's been with us all of this time. Have you lacked anything? Hallelujah.